This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for how you have started with us. Thank you for your manifest presence amongst us. Thank you for the help you have supplied to us this morning. We say thank you, Lord. Even as we go into Supernatural Clinic this morning, oh God, we pray that we receive all that you have in store for us. I pray for myself that you help me. You'd help me with utterance in the name of Jesus, that I come under my father and my mother in the house. I pray that you help me to serve properly. Help me to be in alignment with all that you have for us in the name of Jesus. I pray for all my brothers, all my sisters, all my daddies, all my mommies that I'll be hearing this morning. I pray that an opening of heart will be done in the name of Jesus, that no word will fall to the ground, that distraction will not take away their attention in the name of Jesus, and that very work which you want to do, it will be done in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We've been treating the theme, maintaining the spirit-filled life, cultivating nature of love, and bearing fruit of the Spirit. And we are in the 8th week. This is the 8th lesson. We thank God for how God has helped us so far. Topic for today is the Spirit-filled life communion. Quickly, let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's read Romans 14:17-19. 1, 2, go. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Amen. We have one objective this morning, and it is to show the intricacies of spirit-filled communion relevant for nature formation and fruit-bearing. We want to show the intricacies of spirit-filled communion which are relevant for nature formation and fruit-bearing. What this primarily means is that we cannot talk about nature formation or fruit-bearing when we removed spirit-filled life communion. So the bedrock upon which nature is formed and fruit is born is what? Spirit-filled what? Communion. Okay, let's quickly go into our introduction. The fallen nature in man and the fruit of darkness were cultivated through fellowship with the fallen seed, as well as by the influence of fallen angels who minister to ensure man becomes mighty in corruption. In the same way, the nature of love and the fruit of the Spirit cannot be cultivated without a healthy and continuous communion with the Holy Spirit. John 15:4, quickly. Said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Ephesians 5:11, quickly. Just want to read those two verses. Said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? Reprove them. Communion is simply sharing and having things in common. Communion with the Holy Spirit is therefore the sharing of thoughts and spiritual substance between the believer's heart and the Holy Ghost. This divine exchange is the ground upon which transformation and fruit bearing are established. Communion with the Holy Ghost is powered by a quest an inquisition in the believer's heart, a deep desire to know what the Spirit possesses within himself, what he has to say, and what he can do in and through the believer. As believers, we must learn to keep and sustain the presence and communion of the Holy Spirit in order to lead a victorious life in our earthly sojourn. The presence of the Holy Spirit should be jealously guarded, and reverence should be accorded to him at all times. Lastly, in the introduction, maintaining communion and a spirit-filled life requires the believer to keep himself from defilement, such as loose talk, careless actions, sinful inactions. The Holy Spirit ought to be consulted before the believer takes any step or decision in every situation. Now, primarily what we are saying in this introduction is that, you know, the way nature was formed in every man is by fellowship, is by communion. We were communing with a particular seed, and by reason of that communion and influence of fallen spirits, something began to happen. They began to cultivate nature within us. Now, one of the ways that, you know, the Lord painted the soul of a believer to me is a large, vast land. Can we say large, vast land? An expanse of land. And I was seeing nature as buildings upon those lands. So when you see the soul of a man, the soul of a man is a large expanse of land, that what spirits began to do is that they began to build buildings and structures, different types. We have bungalow, we have face me, I face you, we have duplex, we have story building, we have skyscrapers in the soul of a man. So when you really see a man, every man has become rich by reason of these buildings. Every man is a real estate owner. Because you are rich, every man is rich. Oh. Now, what I began to now see is that the way materials of building is supplied to sites is by communion. It is impossible to build in a man that they have not established a consistent communal life with. Now, when you look at this particular building, what do we use to build this place? There is sand, right? There is cement, right? There's water, right? All these things, you mix these things together to form block. Abby? Then there's another way you mix the cement to ensure that you can lay block upon block, right? And they will stay together. Now, before you form a block, you must mix some things together. And before you have a building, you must also combine different things together. Now, a block in the spirit is what they call blocks, they call them things. Say things. Things are tangible in the realm of the spirit. And every spirit has their own thing. So for them to supply their thing to you, they must establish communion. Now, a thing is a makeup of thoughts. What makes up things are thoughts. Now, if you break a block down, you see what makes the block up, right? There are particles, substances that make a block up before you can see a building. When you break a thing down, what you will see are thoughts. When you collate thoughts together, what will be formed is a thing. Now, when you now begin to lay thing upon thing, you have a building. When you bring thoughts together, you have a what? A thing. When things are now laid upon things, you have a what? You have a building. That's nature formation. So really, the root of nature formation is coming from the place of thoughts. So when spirits want to build within you, what they do is that they have to maintain constant communication with you to ensure that thought is flowing from them into you. So when a thought forms and congeals, it congeals into a thing.
So when things are much, they have enough to begin to build. That's why we all have work. A building is a work. We have works of different spirit at different levels. For some people, their malice level is still a foundation level. For some, they want to open the house. They are done with the building. It's a massive, gigantic, fine building of malice. So the way one person is handling malice is different from the other person. Because that person has not received enough substance to finish that building called malice. For some people, they've not built malice finish, but they have envy in abundance. That's another building. So when you look at the soul of a man, you see that that man has buildings in different places. So when they say a man is rich, really it's because he has things inside.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11. Said the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall is his own conceit. Conceit here means excessive pride. So really when they say a man is rich, it's because of things that he has on his inside. So by reason of communion with man, spirits began to drop things. And by reason of that, they began to form a nature inside that man. Now, when the Lord now wants to save a man and now build his own nature in that man, he also has to go through the same route. First of all, they need to buy that land, which the blood of Jesus did. He said, now you are what? Your body and your spirit are God's, because you have been bought with a price. But one thing you must know about buying such a land that has buildings on it is that as long as those people don't want to leave, there are processes you must engage in. You buy land with your money, but you must still obtain permission to demolish buildings. You don't understand. You will still obtain permission from the government to demolish existing buildings on it. Now, if now the government is not against you, you have bought that land, but you cannot do anything with it. Because there are existing buildings already on that land. Or you have warfare with a particular person on the land. And the law has said, this land belongs to Mr. Philip. Mr. Philip, go and take possession of the land. But you get there and you see your monila is there. And they are saying, this land, law has said they are owner. But me, I no come out. Then there are now people they call law enforcement agents that must now come to enforce that law that has been given and drive out those people. No, that is why, you know, when you look at Canaan land, look at those Hivites, Jebusites, Girgashites, all of them are shiting. You will see that that's how the soul is. The soul has been preoccupied already because they know that the Lord wants to take that land. The enemy has done his work and went to plant his own people there. And the only way that you can remove that thing is by establishing a connection called communion. Intentionally. That is where maintaining a spirit-filled life comes in. As long as a man does not maintain a spirit-filled life, he can be born again for 80, 90 years and old existing structures will still be standing. Nothing will be done on that land. And it will be as though they've not bought the land. So what the Lord first of all begins to do is that they begin to bring us to that place of realizing the essence of communion. Realizing what they want to do by reason of establishing a connection with the Spirit. Because one of the things that if the soul does not have that connection, it will be impossible. There's no way a man can fast, a man can pray, a man can do certain religious things, but he will not be able to fetch things of the Holy Ghost, things of the Spirit into that soul to be able to enable the demolition of existing structures and bring in another structure. Understanding the Spirit-filled communion. The blessedness of hunger and thirst leads the believer into communion. Hunger and thirst are divine stirrings that draws the heart into deeper participation with the Spirit. True satisfaction for the longing soul is found only in communion, where the Spirit supplies life, truth, and substance. Without communion, hunger fades into emptiness. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, while quiet time
You know, many people say they have quiet time, but the quiet time is not really quiet. The quiet time is them bombarding heaven with requests. You know, that's not quiet time. Because one of the things that, you know, the Lord through Pahagin did was he was able to separate the different laws that governs prayers. As long as we muddle things up, we will not have an understanding. You just wake up in the morning, say, ah, thank you, Jesus. I woke up. I can see the brand new day. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. I know you call in the morning, early in the morning. Ah, Lord, I'm going to my work today. 10, 15 minutes. Say, ah, I've done my quiet time. Is that quiet time? If anybody was quiet, it was the Holy Ghost, actually. Because now you they talk. Holy Ghost has not said anything. When he wanted to say, okay, I've heard you, can we say, ah, thank you for today as I go, just I go in your name. And you step out. So who was quiet? While quiet time is integral to the spirit-filled life, communion with the Holy Ghost goes beyond a set period. It is continuous, all-round-the-clock fellowship, such as praying without ceasing, which is more about abiding communion than merely fixed time of prayer. You know, this is where many of us stay, and we neglect the place of quiet time. If you say, do you have your quiet time? You say, well, I commune with the Lord 24/7. You say, wow, that's powerful. Do you have a fixed time? You say, all times are fixed for the Lord. Do you set out time? Say, I don't need to set out time. He has all my time. I understand you perfectly. Share you get. Eh? It's okay. But you must also intentionally, because really, one of the ways that the Lord was showing me that quiet time really is as though you are subscribing. When you buy data now, we can buy data for a whole month. There's monthly subscription. There's quarterly subscription. If you don't have so much money, you buy a subscription for that day. Abby, sometimes you can even do only WhatsApp. WhatsApp subscription, 50 MB. Now, what do I mean by subscribing? You know, one of the things that I was seeing is that the enemy is wicked. Certain truths in the spirit, he has replicated it in the world, such that the way something is supposed to run, our connection to the Lord, is supposed to be like, you know, some people, if you look at their phone 24/7, their data is on. Some people, their data is on 24/7, right? It does not mean that they are going there to actively type or do anything. But there's notification when something drops. Even so, when you are even praying, you say you are praying, and then there's Toto on that phone. You can just scroll down, who sent the message? Okay, I'm praying, I'll call you back. You don't see that. Now, no, there are sometimes you go to that phone and say, okay, 20 minutes, you are on it, actively working on that thing, right? But it does not mean that other times, information does not drop. It does not mean that news does not drop. Punch news in the morning. You just scroll and see that, ah, it has dropped again. This one, it has dropped again. But you are not actively pressing it. There's an established connection. 24/7. So what you are doing by quiet time is that you are establishing connection to carry you for the day. You are fetching substances for the day to run with for the day. So that's why at certain point you can be dataless in a day. Why? Because you have not subscribed when you woke up. Because really what they call quiet time is that Holy Ghost has things he wants to give to you for you to run the day. He has thoughts that he wants to fill your atmosphere with. So when you wake up and you don't allow that communion, they call it tete a tete, heart to heart, whereby he is downloading things into your airspace, into your mind and heart, so that for that day you have things already stored up to run with for the day. So you can wake up and not have that communion. And when you wake up, the first thing that hits your airspace are other things. So you will see that you will not have what is required for that day. You can have religious activities, but you have not received substances. You can feel good that, oh, I've prayed this morning, but you have not engaged the Holy Ghost. And he has not given you what is needed for the day. His mercies are new when every morning. So morning by morning, he said, you wakened my ear. So there's something that the Holy Ghost has for every day. There is a freshness that the Holy Ghost has every day. And we are denying ourselves of that freshness if we cut off from the place of quiet time. That's why quiet time is very integral. But it doesn't end there. Now, you cannot now do quiet time and end it there. Because quiet time is supposed to now push you for the day. So that you have things to transact with. You have things to exchange. You have things that ensures that your mind and heart is constantly stayed on God. Because that's where he said, I will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is where? So how you bring your mind to stay on him is by that. So by intentionally carving out a time, what you are saying is that I prioritize the Lord much more than every other thing. Apostle Paul said, I bring my body under. One of the responsibilities every believer has is to bring their body under. Your physical body, the body of your mind, the body of your heart must be brought under. You know, I've caught myself scrolling away at a certain point in time. And I'll be having the urge of the Holy Ghost within me that this is otito. But I just find that another law, like Apostle Paul said, within me, that I know the Holy Ghost is saying otito, but I'm just glued, I'm just scrolling. Because when you begin to consciously, intentionally create that time, what you are telling your body, your mind, is that I prioritize the Lord above every other thing. What you give your, the first thing that you engage with in the morning is where your priorities lie. As you are waking from the bed, that first thought that hits your mind, you can wake up from your bed and what is hitting your mind is deadline. You can wake up and it's like 6 o'clock, office. And you can take that in. Now, sometimes you wake up from the bed and what will hit your thought is something else. But you will consciously, intentionally sit back and begin to, I don't want to use the word grope, for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And begin to intentionally recalibrate your mind. What you are doing is that it has a retraining of your mind to tell your mind that I prioritize the Lord above every other thing else. Because if a thought hits you and you take it, that is your priority. A thought can hit you and you refuse it. You are telling that thought, you are not my priority. So what this place is telling us, say hunger. Say thirst. One sign that the person is very sick is that person is no longer hungry. Some people might be showing certain symptoms as long as the person is eating. This person is still fine. But if that person says, I'm not eating, know that that thing has gone beyond repair. So one of the signs of an unhealthy soul is lack of hunger. A lack of thirst for the Lord. It shows that we are very unhealthy. It shows that sickness has entered our tabernacle. So when you wake up in the morning and your first cry is not the Lord, know that sickness is around. And one very funny thing about our soul is that you can go without food for days, for months, for years, but really, you are eating something else. If you are not hungry for the Lord, you are hungry for another thing. Because in the realm of the spirit, there is really no vacancy. So a state of a blessed man is a state of a hungry man. It's either the Lord that is blessing you or something else. You can never be hungry for something that you have not tested before. How many of you have woken up and there's a particular craving that I want this thing? It's just this pando yam and a 40 row. At that point in time, you don't want to see anything called shawarma. You don't want to see anything called pizza. They'll be smelling to you. They're just the way that amala and begiri tastes in my mouth. I want that thing again. So sometimes there must be an intentionality to taste the Lord. Because really, truth of the matter is your taste bud has been colonized. Naturally, we don't have a taste for the Lord. No man naturally has a taste or hunger for the Lord. When a man lives the country, at a very tender age, or let's say somebody born over there, what he's hungry for is not what you are hungry for. At a certain point in time, I was eating a particular food, and the second person I was eating it was saying, ah, how are you coping? I was just eating it, and I was enjoying it. This thing is very peppery. You say, pepper a bit, but there's no pepper in this thing. Say, ah, no, something's wrong with your tongue. Because over time, the tongue has been conditioned that pepper is a natural spice the tongue loves. For another person, that thing you are eating without stress, one spoon, he can drink 3 liters of water. Now, it is a conditioning of the taste bud. The tongue. Now, hunger is a product of two things. Hunger is a product of your belly and your tongue. That is why a man can be hungry but refuse certain food. It's not because of the belly at that point. It's the tongue. Because really, the food available can fill that belly. But the tongue is craving for something else. So when you begin to starve your tongue of certain things, what you are telling that tongue is that you either eat this thing or you die. So because you get into some atmospheres that you are seeing other things available for eating, but you are refusing it because you know, although my tongue is craving for you, you are harmful to my belly. So your tongue are craving for something that is harmful to your belly. Your belly just needs to be filled, right? But what is savoring the pleasure that comes from that food is your tongue. Your belly will never say, oh, this food tastes so sweet. No. What is savoring the pleasure from food is your tongue. So you come into certain realms that you will see that my tongue is craving social media. My tongue is craving certain things, but I know that this is harmful to my belly. So what will now recondition that tongue is that you now intentionally begin to feed your tongue with something else. When you taste it as well, it will taste bland. That's why when you begin praying, it doesn't look sweet. When you begin studying the word, it looks dry. But why do you think you come alive when it is movie time? It's your tongue. It's the tongue of your soul that is savoring a pleasure. So if you want to keep serving that taste bud, you will never be able to maintain a spirit-filled life. So at certain point, when they say hunger, you begin to see certain foods, you begin to deny them. Say, this one, it is harmful to my belly. It can be sweet in the tongue. But what is going to produce is something bad. What is going to secrete is not something that is healthy. So sometimes begin to deny your tongue. Begin to deny your tongue. Because why? There must be a reculturing of your taste bud. At certain point, you eat certain foods. I remember the story of a missionary that I heard, you know, that came to, I don't know, a particular state. And all they had there was boiled yam and palm oil. He could not bring all what his taste bud was accustomed to. He now came here on missionary trip. And all that was available, at least I can manage to eat, that I can identify. Because he had other things that he could not even look at. He had boiled yam and what? Palm oil. Say the first time he took it, he almost vomited his intestine. Vomiting. But you have an instruction to come to this particular state. What are you going to do? Pack your things and say, guys, I'm not ready to die. I think God will send another person. Again, he still went back to that boiled yam and oil. He ate it. You vomit. He said, body here. This is what is available. If you don't chop him, you go die. So he kept eating that thing until eventually that body acclimatized. There's nothing the body cannot acclimatize to. Same thing with your mind. You that you think you don't like scriptures, if you stay with it and tell your mind, this one, if I don't understand this thing, I'm being denied life. You will see that after a while, your taste will begin to change. It's because you're not desperate enough for it. You will still see it as well. It does not really matter. When I come to church, they will preach sermon. But when you see, when you realize, you know, hunger is you realize that my life depends on this meal. If I refuse this meal, there's no food again. Remember those times when you're angry in the house and they scolded you, rebuked you, and you say you're not eating that night. And they will not beg you to eat. And your food is in the kitchen covered. And let's say, by the last food you ate is in the morning. But you know, when you're angry, there's a way you are full. You don't feel like you're going to need that food anymore. Like, no. And you go to your room angrily. When that anger now comes, and that's that, this hunger is there. You now tiptoe to now go and carry that food. God and I help you, they now catch you there. I thought you're angry now. I thought you're angry. So there's a particular heart posture that sees spiritual. You know, when they say you have love for spiritual things, is that you have an understanding that this is where my life is. And I must understand it. How many of you, you've had a particular exam that is a 4-unit course? You know, if you have an F in a 4-unit course, because they will divide your scores by that thing. When you go back to take it again, they will still divide. Oh my God. You know that your CGPA has gone. How many of you will say, I don't understand this course. Well, I leave it into the hands of God. Whatever happens, happens. No, it's that time you now become friends with people. People that you don't used to talk with. Say, you are reading this thing. Oh, yeah, please show me this. You will see people begin to form bonds. You see people that you feel like, this brother, this sister, how come? They are reading together. Because you have an understanding of what is at stake. But we don't do that for spiritual things. We leave it to chance. That if I understand, I understand. If this happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. When you go say, wake up every night, pray for 30 minutes stretch or 1 hour stretch. You pray for 15 minutes, you sleep off. Say, they wake you up again to continue. Like, just on your bed, say, I'll do it another time. You know, we have not come to a point of valuing spiritual things. So when you value something, it will begin to show in how you treat it. In how you respond to it. That's where the place of hunger and thirst comes in. When they say they bless the man with hunger and thirst, it's not as though he just wakes up and he begins to desire something. It's first of all a knowledge that this is what I should be hungry for. This is what I should be thirsty for. And then he begins to obey instructions. Hallelujah. They say, blessed are they that do hunger. So hunger is something you must do. How do you do hunger? Mean that there are instructions that you begin to give you so that hunger can be worked inside of you. So there's a commandment in the spirit called hunger that you must find and do. There's a commandment in the spirit called thirst that we must find and do. It's when you begin to do those things that they will now fill us. So I've established the fact of quiet time and continuous fellowship. They are very integral. Communion with the Holy Spirit involves acknowledging Him, leaning on Him, deferring to Him, and surrendering to Him. True communion is not casual but intentional. Where the believer honors His presence, trusts His guidance, yields His will, and submits to His leading. Such communion makes room for the Spirit's influence, counsel, and power. Trust His guidance, yields to His will, and submit to His leading. Such communion makes room for the Spirit's influence, counsel, and power. You know, that's why, you know, maintaining Spirit-filled life, when you have done the quiet time and you're maintaining consistent communion in your thoughts, there are also instructions that come with it. You know, how many of you know that when they were saying in Acts chapter 6, that look among yourself, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and full of faith. They were telling all the congregation to look among themselves. Meaning that thing is something that is visible. It's something that can be seen. When a man is full of the Spirit, you will see it. You can identify it. Now, they are not coming to the place of the formation of Christ, but there is a way you can maintain communion with the Holy Ghost that it will be distinct. That this man is keeping an order in the Spirit. How many of you have spoken with certain people and after talking with that person, you are just feeling like, Holy Ghost, where are you? I just want to know this Jesus. I just want to have an understanding of this thing. How can a man be like this? And then you've spoken with another person and looks as though they have drained life out of you. Just want to go and sleep. Because you are tired. You have used up energy. There's no supply. There are certain gadgets that you just want to be in. You just want to hear this person. You just want to interact with this person. After that person finished talking, just now, no. I must seek the Lord. And there are some other people that after you are done, your envy for somebody increases. Your anger against somebody, be like, this brother, does he know the Lord? You know, different things just begin to well up in your heart because you've engaged somebody. I know these things are very visible. I'm sure that at a certain point, people have gone to meet Stephen to just certain matters. They've met Stephen to maybe at some point, maybe he was serving food and they've seen how he did it. And then they see, this brother, the way he had some things, he kept some and he. And they looked at this other, they could see that this man has wisdom. This man is not like us. The people that made that decision, they were the people murmuring and fighting. But they knew some people who are not like us. They knew some people, this people's level is different from my own. This person has a walk with the Lord. I'm not there yet, but what I'm seeing, this guy no be like me. So it's evident. So such that even when they have not started to carry out the work of formation on your inside, because you are maintaining a certain level of wine of the Spirit, certain things are not found in your radar. Certain things are not found in your atmosphere. And that is why you must keep maintaining that wine level. Because if it drops like this, certain natures will just show forth. Because if they've not really worked something else, you are maintaining that thing by reason of wine. No, you can maintain certain things by reason of wine. That if it drops like this, they will just, is it not the same brother? What happened to him? Wine has dropped. Communion for a spirit-filled life must be consciously and carefully engaged, not handled haphazardly. Haste and disorganization hamper a healthy and rich communal life with the Holy Ghost. Communion requires a prepared heart and a consecrated ground where the believer can transact deeply with the Spirit. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 4 verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your what? And be what?
Still.
So, your quiet time that you are not still. I don't know what to call that. No, there are times for prayers. There are times of petition, times of supplication, times of making your requests known to God. But there is a time to be still. Some people cannot be still upon their bed. That is also a training. To be still upon your bed is not easy. It's either you are with your phone, actively checking things, watching status, doing things. If you say, "Oh, let me just be still," 2 minutes, you are gone. You wake up the next morning wondering what happened. Some people's medicine to sleep is to be still. God just stay there. So, okay, Holy Ghost. If Holy Ghost say, nowhere to be found. They have disappeared from the... So at those points, you have to stand up. Although David here could be still on his bed. That's an Old Testament saint. The reason why we are not still on our bed is because we have exhausted our energy on other things. So by the time you say you want to be still like this, your body sees opportunity. You see, Benny, let's shut down. off light. Because your body is offering light on you. You want to be still, but they don't off light. Say, "Oh, guy, just rest. Yeah? Continue the rest tomorrow." So it's also a training. To be still on your bed is a training. A believer who would hear and receive from the Holy Spirit must be grave. Say grave. Deep-thoughted and carry reverence for spiritual things in his heart. Light-heartedness. Say light-heartedness.
Light-heartedness.
There are some people that they never take anything seriously. Always joking around. Always trying to find a joke in everything. Some people are not comfortable in a quiet environment. Now, we like those kind of people is good, but it must be spirit-regulated. At some point, you need to be quiet. At some point, when there is a sober and grave atmosphere, you must be able to key into it. Sometimes the soul is like a small child. No, sometimes small children prefer for you to spank them and they cry. They forget about it and continue doing what they are doing. Than instructing them to sit in one position. So, kneel down and face the wall. You want to kill me? I've seen it many times. Before you know it, you say, "Mommy, can I do this?" I said, "Face the wall. Mommy, what about..." He cannot just maintain that place of staying still. It's not in his nature. Because he looks like, what is life when everywhere is like this? To that child, that is suffering. is suffering because he cannot maintain stillness of heart. He cannot maintain that place whereby the heart is just quiet and facing the Lord. No. There must be one or two things to do. It must just be up and down, up and doing. Some people is jesting. Say jesting.
Jesting.
The Lord particularly warned me, you know, to some listening to some particular kind of things. You just hear, you just laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Holy Ghost came to me and said, ah, really? I never knew you found this thing funny. Oh. I said, ah. But it's funny. And I said, okay, ah, wow, it's funny. How is using sacred things as joke funny to you? And I'm like, ah, but you're just making everybody laugh. Say, are you supposed to be laughing? Ah. You know, because we just feel, let's just go through life, let's just enjoy, let's just... And Holy Ghost came to me and warned me. I had to stop listening to some things because of that. Because when you hear it, like, ah, you just use church things, just laugh it off, and people, you see people in the church as well, to laugh, yeah. And he asked me, is it funny? When he goes, ask you something funny. I have to look again. I say, really? Is this still funny? Say, irreverence hinder communion. That place of not discerning the Holy Ghost is irreverence. Not knowing that you carry the Holy Ghost is irreverence. Not paying attention, you know, to what he's saying is irreverence. Quenching his voice is irreverence. Quieting him is irreverence. Now, and all these things will not allow us to sustain a continuous spirit-filled life. It will not allow us to sustain communion. The reason why some of us cannot keep malice for a long time, you cannot even keep it for 5 minutes, is because it is already hindering fellowship. When you see somebody comfortable in malice, because that person has nothing to lose. Very okay. Sleep and snoring. Very fine. And then there's malice in the heart. Ah. It's because there's no active engagement. Sometimes you see something, Holy Ghost just say, overlook it, overlook it, overlook it. Don't let it spoil communion. Just overlook it because you are guarding something. You do something because you are guarding something. You want to say some things. Holy Ghost say, ah, no, no, no. If you say this, ah. And you just keep quiet. You are feeling pain, but you know, ah, this is better for me to feel this pain than for me to hinder fellowship.
Thank you, Jesus. Leto kawuli 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 kaw kaw kalewili kaw kawenu kaw kaske kanima kaw kaw kanipa kanimilukos kewa kewa kawa kewa kawa kawa. Treasure it, treasure it, treasure your place with me, treasure your place with me, treasure your place with me. Be satisfied with your place with me. Be satisfied even with that place. Treasure that place. Treasure that place. Treasure it. Put treasure in it. Put treasure in it. Esteem it highly, much more than others. Esteem it highly, much more than any other satisfaction. Much more than other satisfactions. Much more than other satisfaction. Be content with it. Be content with it. Treasure it. Treasure it. Protect it. Protect it. Protect it. Protect that place. Protect that place. Even that altar where I meet with you. Protect it. Protect it. Protect it. Build a guard around it. Build a fence around it. Ensure that nothing takes that place away. Ensure that nothing disrupts even that place. Disrupts that altar. Nothing disrupts that altar. Ensure it is guarded. Ensure it is guarded. Ensure, protect, protect. Ensure it is protected. Ensure it is protected. Ensure the place, even the altar that I meet with you. Even the altar that I meet with you. That I meet with you. Ensure it is guarded. Ensure it is protected. Steer clear of disturbances. Steer clear of things. Things that will take your attention. That will take your attention. That will take your attention. That will even disrupt even that place. That would scatter that place. Steer clear of it. Stay clear of it.
protect, protect, protect. Yeah, pay attention to protect it. Pay attention to protect it. Pay attention, pay attention. Give attention to ensure that it is kept safe, that it is kept safe. Yeah, protect my dealings with you. Protect the place of our meeting. Protect the place, even of our meeting. Protect it. Ensure that it is kept. 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 Cower. Go low if you have to. Go low if you have to. Sell any other thing, but keep that place. Keep that place. Keep that place. Yeah, send things away. Sell others. Sell others. Sell your confidence. Sell your pride. Sell even your discomfort. Yeah, sell it. Sell it. Sell it. And buy more of that place. Purchase more of that place. Purchase even more space. Purchase. Protect. Protect it. Protect it. Ensure that nothing disrupts where we meet, that we will meet again and again, again and again, again and again, says the Spirit.
Hallelujah. And obedience is permission to demolish certain things. Before they can raise, cultivate another nature in you, they must bring down certain things and make the ground ready for what they want to do. You know, I remember one of the times that the Lord came to meet me, you know, as well, on my, I don't know if it was Instagram or Facebook, I was following a guy and a lady posing as couples. They were not married, but they were staying together. And you know, all these things that couples do, all these play prank on each other, all these take each other out, but their life was just on social media. And they had a lot of content that I was following them. And I was engaging, see what they are doing. And Lord came to me and said, so you have approved of cohabitation? I said, no, now I'm not. How can I approve such? If you come to me, I will fight against it and say, I don't approve it. But by that action, what I was doing, my heart somewhere had approved it. So as long as you are here following this, so your heart has approved it. Immediately, I had to disengage. So Holy Ghost will begin to come for you in your private places. Why? Because many of the buildings that we have are tied to those things. Many of the natures that we can see manifest are results of those things that we are engaging in. It's because of the weightlessness of our heart. Our heart is no longer weighty. Because it is not weighty, it's clear to heaven that we are not intentional about a spirit-filled life. There must be a weight that must rest on our heart. And sometimes, as long as we are connected to some wines, that thing was a wine for me. I could not receive certain weight in my heart. Why spirit-filled communion? Why communion with darkness has rendered man unresponsive to God and dulled his spiritual senses, and the curse of the flesh has made man carnal and sensual. Communion with the Holy Spirit awakens and vitalizes the believer's spiritual senses. In communion, the believer's faculties are exercised, sharpened, and made alive unto God. See, exercised, sharpened, and made alive unto God. Let's look at Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee. You know that in this writing, he was not writing to an unbeliever. You know, he was writing to the church. So why is he calling some people, telling them that they are sleeping? And he's saying that some people are dead. Arise from the dead. Why is that? What is death? Death is lack of life. The spirit can have life, but the soul lacks life. So as long as the soul still lacks life, they can tell it to arise from the dead. What is sleep? Sleep is a state of there is life, but you are not actively engaging life. They are supplying life to you, but that's why if you live in the spirit, do what? So you can be in a place whereby you are receiving life, but you are not actively engaging life, you are sleeping. So one of the things that engaging the Holy Ghost does is that it awakens your senses. It does not make you dull anymore. Because truth be told, every man is dull to God. Sin dulls a man to God and makes you alive to something else. You can see that we are much more alive to other things than to God. We are much more interested. Our interest, our desires is towards some other things than to God. You can see a person very much interested in career. Career is not a bad thing, but you can be so alive to career and you are dead to God. You can be so alive to the concept of I want to marry and you are dead to what God is saying about your life now. You can be so alive to certain things here and you are no longer... But what engaging the Holy Ghost will do to you is that it will make your senses to be awakened, to be alive unto God. Engagement and fellowship with the Holy Spirit leave no room for communion with fallen spirits. The actions birth and express why spending time with the Spirit are acceptable to God, and they keep the believer from engaging in works that are not convenient. Discipline is taught and enforced upon the soul, which by nature is loose and lawless. Through the Spirit-filled life, communion with the Spirit is built upon a disciplined walk, often beginning as a deliberate and structured routine, where the believer consistently yields to and keeps step with the Spirit, even when he is seemingly silent. Deliberate and structured routine. One of the things that shows that you want to imbibe a habit or you want to imbibe a nature is that there is a deliberate and what? Structured routine that the Holy Ghost helps you to create. Remember that time in school when they go to lecture, you teach and the likes, and some people are not reading. I used to wonder why some people were always stopping the class. Holy Ghost just helped me to just see it one day. Just one day, and I understood that, oh, this is the reason why. That particular guy, he came out top in our department. And that day after our lecture, I wanted to go back home because I was tired. If it comes in 7, maybe 7 to 2 or something for the lecture. And I just happened to meet this guy. So we're talking, we're going, and we're supposed to branch like this. This is the way home. Well, he was branching like this. I said, "Guy, where are you going?" No. I just want to get to the library. The library for what? He said, "You know that he has to read on what he has taught and also prepare for the next class." We say, that there's no exam, there's no test. You're not carrying and you're not reading. But we have some people that they have learned a particular discipline. They have brought themselves to a place that either exam or no exam, test or no test, they are reading consistently. So that guy, nothing meets him unaware. Nothing meets him by surprise. He's always ready. So if we are to journey with the Lord, there must be a structured and disciplined routine that the Holy Ghost must help us to have. It's that you wake up in the morning and say, "I must start waking up. Holy Ghost, help me to be waking up 4 to 5 so that we can maintain 1 hour and then continue. Say, okay, after this one, I must maintain 30 minutes communing with you after all my prayer." Something must drop in your heart and we must maintain it. It must be consistent. That's what they call a routine. You must be accountable to a particular routine. The Spirit-filled life of communion teaches and regulates the wild tendencies of the soul, training the believer to act only as permitted by the Spirit. In communion, boundaries and standards are established for the believer in every aspect of life, thought, speech, action, and even inactions. The believer's life is thereby regulated and ordered by the Spirit. Now, remember, everything I want to do, there's always a check for it. Always a check. Why are you doing what you are doing? Why did you talk like this? Why did you react like this? You did this to this person, but you did not have the same commensurate energy with this person. Why are you withdrawing yourself from this person? Is it because of the way she spoke to you or the way she addressed you? This other person seems to honor you more, so you are gravitating much more different. And I'll be like, "Oh, Kilo Day, what is it? Allow me to breathe." Everything, every point, there was just a check. There was just an indicator, just pointing, why is this? Why is this? I almost said they should leave me alone, but they did not leave me alone. No, I appreciate God for that time. It was at that point that this particular scripture made sense to me. It came out, I said, "Let your words be seasoned with salt." Said, "There's no word you should say that should not be with grace." So I was always careful because anything I say, I know they are coming for it. So I was very careful of my speech. So even when somebody is talking to me, I'm quoting that scripture to the person. So that person does not understand where I'm coming from. Like, what is happening now? I said, "Let your words be seasoned with salt." Are you preaching at me? No. That atmosphere was just so strong that there was consistent check back to back every day. No day will pass and they will not point attention to something. Even in actions, you did not do so. Why didn't you do this? But for this other person, you did this. But when it came to this person, you withdrew. Acted as though it's not your business. Why? Began to look at it, okay. And began to repent. So what the Holy Ghost will begin to do is that he begins to regulate you. Because if we don't regulate us, we will run wild. And that is why we must be grateful to God. You know, here in this company, we thank God that nobody, I don't think anybody is saying that's just who I am. This is just my nature. And No. Everybody is looking into it and say, "This nature, why are you there? Are you part of what the Lord planted? Are you meant to remain? and engaging the Holy Ghost for change. Commodities and heart posture needed for effective communion. Rich communion with the Holy Spirit cannot be attained unless the believer brings something for fellowship, beginning with the heart and the spiritual substances upon the heart, for the Holy Spirit to brood upon and breathe into. The Holy Spirit works with what is yielded, and he enlarges what is offered. Some necessary postures and heart substances for communion include. What this is saying is that there are particular heart postures that we must have if we are going to maintain communion with the Holy Ghost. There's a way our heart must be postured. Number one is willingness and readiness to hear. Communion with the Spirit is basically a two-way communication. So as you're talking, you're also waiting for feedback. You're waiting for response. Your heart is open. And sometimes you wake up in the morning and there's just a deep search in your heart. You know, you just begin to roam around in your heart. And what you are doing is you are calling for the Holy Ghost. Because one thing that you know is that you want to hear what he has to say. And because of that, what you are waiting for, you are not just wanting to pour. But there's a particular kind of Christianity we can run, whereby we are always pouring out needs. You know, one of the times the Lord told me that you can be a Christian that I always meet at the point of your need. That God always comes to meet you at the point of your need. But he said, I can also raise you to meet me at the point of my will. So it's two things. You can always be at the point of your need, never leaving. Always saying, God, I want this. God, do this. And they're always meeting you there. God meets me. But he said, I can also raise you so that you can meet me. Say, at the point of my what? Of my will. That's a journey. The word must be people that are dedicated to the word. The word of God attracts the Holy Spirit, who is ever willing to bring illumination and breathe upon that which the believer has gleaned from the word. We must be people that stay with the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must read. We must hear. We must pay attention. Apostle Paul told, was it Timothy? Say till I come. Say give attendance to reading. There's something you must give attendance. Sometimes what you have to give is attendance. Sometimes what you have to give is time. Attention. That attendance is also attention to reading. And we must stay in that place. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. You must always approach God with humility and repentance. Must never approach God from the standpoint of I know. Must never approach God from the standpoint, you know, yes, God might have even helped you in certain areas. We must not be people that beat our chest and begin to say, God, you know, I have done this. God, you know, I am not like that other person. No, as long as our heart is like that, we will always truncate communion. Because the Lord gives grace to the humble. That no matter how much God has wrought in you, we must still go back knowing that there is even much more to be done. Faith. Believing that God is and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Thanksgiving and praise. We must always be people that give thanks and praise. We must not be found complaining. Must not be found murmuring. Must not be found wishing that what we had was another thing. Because God is actively involved with us. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. There must be a longing for deeper infilling and transformation. Matthew 5:6, we've taught on that earlier. Obedient willingness, readiness to obey whatever the Spirit reveals. Now, this is where many of us fail. This is where many of us do what? We have certain points that we don't allow the Holy Ghost to journey beyond. And that is primarily because of idols in the heart. There are things that God told Pahikin that I want to bring you to a point whereby you are open to the fact that I say this and you are willing to go with it. Because truth be told, we don't know how much of resistance we can put up until certain things tell us in the face. That thing kept coming to Pahikin that go to that church, go to that church. He said he kept fighting it. He kept fighting it because he remembered his last meeting with them, his last stay with them. It was not funny. He did not want to go. He kept fighting it. And that thing kept staying. He came to a point and said, oh God, let your will be done. I'm ready to go. And I said, really, I didn't want you to go. But I want you to come to a point that anything I say, you are ready to go, irrespective of how inconvenient it is. Love for the Lord and the brethren. There must be a heart that loves the brethren. A heart that treasures brotherhood. A heart that treasures brotherhood above things. A heart that does not want to ride or take advantage of his brother. A heart that discerns the brother, his sister, and treats him as the Lord would treat them. There must be love in the heart. For the brethren, it is when you have a love for the brethren, that's when the Lord can now look at you and say, this one can love me.
Because even the commandment the Lord will give you to love him, first of all, begins with your loving the brethren. Because how can you love the Lord that you cannot see? When the brother beside you, you are not engaging love commandments. 1 Corinthians mentions a lot of things in love. He is patient, he's kind, he's not envious, does not vaunt itself, does not do this, does not behave rudely, does not talk anyhow. You don't talk down on people. There is a way the Lord will put words in your heart. But even to correct, there is a way to correct. All these things are show that you have love written in your mind. I want to carry out commandment of love. So when you talk shabbily to somebody, Holy Ghost will now come back and say, go and apologize. Go and say, oh, I meant good, but the way I presented it was wrong. And then when you do that, something is being done. You are maintaining consistency in the place. So maintaining communion is not that you are always feeling butterfly in your belly. Or you're always feeling, oh, there is just this warmth around me. No. You might not always feel warmth. It might be fire you're feeling. Fire that wants to burn you. That, no, I don't want to do this. But yet, you are maintaining fellowship. Because why? You are carrying out obediences. There must be burden in the heart. The Spirit is quick to visit and respond to a heavy heart. There must be burden in your heart. When you see your brother going through things, Lord must put things in your heart. For that person, why is this? Why is that? Why? It's concerning your own life. You must be able to ask questions. Lord, show me this. Lord, and it is when the Lord sees that there's really heaviness in the heart. You're not just light, going about life as though life can just happen anyhow to you. No. There must be an intentionality in the heart that calls for burden. Lastly, available spiritual commodities in communion. The Holy Ghost gives gifts, which are spiritual substances, to those who spend time with him. He does not leave the believer empty-handed. Every true communion with the Spirit leaves the believer enriched, strengthened, and supplied with grace and gifts for edification. Some of these include, you know, I'll read that in a moment. Now, how many of us know that that when you visit elderly people more often, there's no way, there's no time you engage that you don't receive gifts. When you visit elderly people more often, you always leave there with gifts. It might not be shoe, it might be an advice, it might not be clothes. Might be just something that they will just say. When I mean that, I mean men that are following the Lord. Men that have a walk with the Lord. When you visit them off, there is no time you will go there that you will leave empty-handed. You will always leave with something. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. Reason why many of us don't have a lot of gifts from the Holy Ghost is because we don't visit him often. In fact, he doesn't even want you to visit. He wants you to stay. That's the establishing a connection. That there's always a flow. Whenever somebody sends something, you receive it. Now, it doesn't mean that it's every time that you're always on it. That's why you don't say, oh, should I eat now? Should I not eat now? Should I drink now? Should I not drink now? Should I preach now? Should I not preach now? Should I use the toilet now? Should I not use the toilet now? And all those things. But you are in a position. Data is always on. You want to do something, but then there's a restraint. Apostle Paul wanted to do something that was right. He wanted to preach. Jesus had given instruction, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel, right? But he got to a place he wanted to preach and then the Holy Ghost forbade us. What do you think that is? So you are in a state whereby the Holy Ghost can always speak to you. He can always minister to your heart. We had a lot of things about inward witness and how the Holy Ghost speaks to us. We can go back to visit it. But we can always be in a place whereby the Holy Ghost can minister to us. We have instructions, leadings, guidance, clarity. Some people are still in the dark on certain situations because the Holy Ghost, they've not engaged the Holy Ghost well on it. Now, Isaiah 30:21 says, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, go ye therein. There's the breath of the Spirit, the resting upon the word, a thought, or the believer's heart in the place of communion. Light breaks open to you. You have more understanding of scriptures when the Holy Ghost broods upon that thing. You're not just reading it. You are reading it and your heart is saying, Holy Ghost, speak to me. Minister to me. So you are not coming with past knowledge of what you know about that scripture. Because that past knowledge can be a hindrance. When you bring your past knowledge to a scripture, you are telling the Holy Ghost, I know enough of this. When you go with an open heart, that despite I know this, Holy Ghost, please breathe on this. Holy Ghost can further expand that thing. Spiritual trances, no, granted in communion, enabling the believer to speak mysteries by the Spirit. You enter spiritual trances by faith. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Prophecy, declarations. No, the Holy Ghost can inspire you, can put a thought, a word in your mouth. And as you step in faith, you can break through even into the Spirit. Atmosphere and manifestation of the Spirit, fashioned and forged in communion, creating a dwelling place for his power and presence for the Spirit while he manifests as he will. In conclusion,
Great power is made available in communion and fellowship with the Spirit. In this sacred engagement, the believer is empowered to walk in the Spirit, living above the dictates of the flesh and yielding to the will of God. The consistent fellowship sets a fertile ground for nature cultivation. Now, first of all, our heart must be made fertile. And the way they do that is by the constant supply that the Holy Ghost gives. Can we say amen? Amen. Can we just thank God for this morning?
I'll find grace this week even to engage more in the name of Jesus. I'll find help in the name of Jesus. I will increase even in my communal life in the name of Jesus. I'll find so much help. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Thank you so much, Pastor Priest, for that labor. A lot has been said and well taught. Just a few things to add to it. Communion means to come into union. So when you read the Bible that and Adam knew his wife, it means constant coming into what? Into union will definitely produce something. So meaning without communion, you can't bear fruit. You can't cultivate nature and you can't bear fruit. So the reason why as a believer you can be fruitless is because you lack what? Communion with the Holy Ghost. Communion, will help to cultivate nature and also eventually to what? To bear fruit. Communion is what makes us to have things in common with the Holy Ghost as per nature and expression. As a believer, you can be dead as a log of wood, even when the people of God are congregating. Why? Because you don't have a communal life. So you don't have expression of the Holy Ghost. Do you know to shout in church, give a shout to the Lord, and you are just keeping quiet intentionally. Or they are singing, you are not moving. The normal, nursery school, movement that we do on assembly ground, you don't even do it. It's because you lack communion. You can't have communion and you won't be expressive because you are sharing things in common. The place of communion is the place whereby you share things in common with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives you his things and is able to take your own things that will injure you. He's able to do what? To take it away. Things like unforgiveness, things like malice, they can't survive, in that communal ground. One of our point here also, it says understanding the spirit-filled communion. It says that while quiet time is integral to the spirit-filled life, quiet time is a time that you have to be quiet and your heart is open to hear what it will have to say to you. Communion did not start in the New Testament. Hope we know. It started from what? From saints of old. And that's why when you read, the book of Psalms, you will see how David was able to demonstrate a communal life. And that was why, you see that he received a lot of change. Where did he receive instruction not to touch the Lord's anointed? A normal you would have done it in self-defense. Right? But in the place of communion, he was able to receive instruction. He was able to receive what? Direction. Guidance. Even you can receive understanding in the place of communion. Let's read the book of Psalm 63, verse 6 and 8. It says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Verse 8, say, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. So if our soul is not following hard after the Lord, will not see the reason to have communion with him. And it is possible for a man to be full of himself. Being full of yourself, you won't see any reason to have communion. And that's why, another point that I wrote down here says, without communion, even prophet of old also, they were rich in communal life. And that's why in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophet have what? Inquired and searched diligently. How? Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? So in the place of inquiring, in the place of searching, in their communal life, what happened? They were now able to see and prophesy the grace. Which means that the place of communion, they were able to receive fruits. They were able to receive expressions of the Holy Ghost. Without communion, we can't have things in common with the Godhead. There is no way. Because communion is a place whereby you share things in common. In the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 6, it says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that he also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Then, let's read verse 6. If say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, communion should help me to walk in light. Communion should help me to do the truth. You become what you commune with. So, it will be impossible. The reason why some believers have already concluded that it is not possible to be perfect is because they lack the understanding of the power of communion. Because you become what you commune with. If you want to be a billionaire, you can't be communing with someone that is earning 120,000 naira per month. Can you become a billionaire that way? To be a billionaire, you have to what? Commune with who? That's why they have life coaches. They have business coaches. Because who you commune with, if you want to be a teacher, commune with a teacher. If you want to be a doctor, commune with what? A doctor. That's why as you grow in the educational sector, you see that they begin to narrow you down to what you want to become. What they are doing is to give you a grant for communion. So a doctor will teach a doctor to become a doctor. So meaning, if you are not communing with the Holy Ghost, how will you become spirit? So you keep struggling with flesh. Spiritual things will continually become difficult and look impossible. It is possible to be perfect. The scripture says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we can see, you know, a major route so that you can have fellowship with us. Because truly our fellowship is with the Father. So if you are communing with he that is perfect, then you also can be perfect. I said you can be perfect. When we know the importance and the strength of what communion can do to us as believers, we'll see that it is a worthy investment. Communion is the place to fetch joy, direction, and life. A believer should never be depressed. If you have a communal life, you won't know what depression is. Because the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Woo! So when you are communing with the Holy Ghost, you will be what? Receiving the substances that are in him. You won't treat communion or do communion well if you don't see yourself as a business and the Godhead as investors that must profit. Imagine a business that is totally cut off from the investors. Communion is the ground for constant interaction between the investors, the Godhead, and the business for your own profitability. There is no way I can be profitable to God if I'm not constantly in communion with the Holy Ghost. And without communion, we can't be profitable as believers. You can be a believer, but you may not be profitable. Because you are not constantly meeting with your investors. Because you are a business. You are God's own project. Ephesians chapter 1 makes us know that we are purchased possession. So we need to constantly stay in communion with the Holy Spirit. Somebody can say, me, I just want to commune with God. Who is the Holy Ghost? No, you need the Holy Ghost. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the what? Love of God and the what? Communion or fellowship of the Holy Ghost. In fact, it is in the place of communion also we learn virtues. We learn virtues. In communion, the Lord can test you. So we'll miss out on many things, even many details, if we are not constantly in what? In communion. Pastor Prince says something very profound, that even in correcting, there is a way you can correct that you can damage the other person. Then commodities and heart posture needed for effective communion. We can see all these things listed, willingness and readiness, you know, to hear, you know, the word of God, a broken and a contrite heart. We can see it in the life of David. David was a very good example. Even our Lord Jesus, if you read the book of Luke chapter 5, you know, Luke chapter 5, verse 16, he said, and he withdrew himself into where? The wilderness and prayed. Yes, automatically they will have assumed that it was just prayer. But there were many times that the scripture recorded that Jesus prayed, but really he was communing. You know, it was in place of communion that he said, not my will, but your will. Pastor Praise said it. That, you know, we need to journey from the Lord meeting us at the point of our need to upbraiding us for us to come to the point of his own will. So Jesus had a communal life. If Jesus had it, how much more you? Then communion takes care of confusion in all matters. As a believer, you can be emotionally imbalanced. Communion takes care of confusion. Because in the place of communion, you receive instruction. You receive direction. You receive commandment. Physically, naturally, emotionally, financially, in all ramifications, communion cut across every sphere of our lives. Lest we just, you know, target that. It's only spiritual aspect of my life. Hallelujah. You are firstly a spirit. So everything should what? Dovetail down. Hallelujah. Then what distinguishes a believer from others is actually communion. And even in communion, what will distinguish one believer from another are the substances you fellowship with. To be a successful believer, we need to have a communal life. We need to stay in communion with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Then lastly, communion deals with unforgiveness, malice, hatred, and the lies. Because communion with the Holy Ghost will deal with those things. If you are struggling to forgive someone that have really hurt you, please bring that matter to the communion table. They will deal with it. Hallelujah. Communion life is a must for us as believers. Can we respond to the Lord this morning?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.